Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week.
Well, I believe if everything came out well in the slideshow, I believe there's a symbol here in the next slide. Is there a symbol? Yeah, there it is. And I think I'm still a little hot on the lavalier here. Anyone see? I think most of us have seen this symbol somewhere before, probably. Right. We call this the peace sign. And at some point in my generation, it became sort of a marketing symbol to represent anything that's sort of counterculture or edgy or different. If you combine the peace sign with anything tie-dyed, you get extra edgy, extra alternative, extra counterculture. And it can be a little bit of a marketing play. Like this sign just kind of gets slapped on t-shirts and other things to kind of sell them. But it didn't start out that way. It actually started out as a protest against nuclear weapons. I was chatting with an AI bot named Claude about this week. Claude had a few things to say about it. Claude said that the peace sign was connected to the nuclear disarmament movement of the 1950s. It was designed by a British artist named Gerald Holtham, 1958, specifically for something called the Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament. And this was a time when human beings realized, oh my goodness, like we have the technology to blow ourselves up, like every human on the planet. We have the technology to do that. This can't happen. And so this sign came out of this nuclear protest. It actually comes out of two, they're called semaphore signals, flag signals. If you're in the Coast Guard or the Navy, you should come up here and demonstrate because I'm going to mangle it. But the basic idea is that the N represented two flags held this way, and the D represented two flags held this way. So when you put the D next to the N, then you got that inner part, and then the circle was supposed to be the Earth. Well, so the origin of the symbol had a very important meaning, and in some ways, we may be a little, like, starting to take it for granted, you know, the importance of that movement and what it stood for. The next level of that, of course, is AI, and some of us are asking the question if we should be as concerned about AI. But the peace symbol reminds us there is a human impulse toward peace. Like we want things to be okay. We want our world to be okay. We look out into society and we say, they're kind of not. They're kind of not. Last couple months have been interesting. We had a big election in our country, and is often the case, the polls were telling us everything was razor close, and most analysts these days seem to be saying it wasn't so razor, you know, so close, and yet this election, it brought so many tensions, like all of them seem to in the last couple years. It's brought out so many opinions and biases and fears, and families split up over them and friends not talking to them anymore. And in the aftermath of this election, we have a country that's divided with some people content and some people very worried about the result. Had the other candidate won, likely the same result. Some people upset, some people content, just different groups of people. But it seems like as long as that symbol has been around, we haven't gotten there. It hasn't carried the freight. Decades later, we still have nuclear weapons, and our country isn't any more united than it used to be. Elections don't bring peace. Politics don't bring peace. Governments don't bring peace. Society is very divided. So, at least for me, I can't put my hope in those things if I'm going to be looking for peace in my life. I could look for circumstances to bring me peace, you know, just sort of take it easy, you know, go with the flow, just life, let life show up as it is, practice acceptance. I could do that. A couple months ago, we had some pretty horrific hurricanes tear through the country. That was difficult, particularly if you lived in that part of the country. So circumstance there, sort of up and down, really down for them. And what about, has anybody been watching the news about those drones? Is that not weird? It's weird. I've heard all kinds of theories. Have you heard all the theories about the drones? They span the gamut. They span the gamut to, well, people are just imagining things, to there are aliens underground and they're just waving to us, to there are secret government programs, to I think the favorite one I heard was that there's a drone bill up for renewal and this is like a little nudge to get some approval in that direction. I don't know. I know it's weird, and if I were living in a part of the state or country, I guess the eastern part of our state saw some, or in New Jersey, if I looked up and I saw a drone, I'd think, that's not a circumstance that brings me peace. There's an SUV-sized drone over my house. That doesn't bring me peace. So circumstances kind of up and down. We have good days. We have days we think are bad. Can't depend on those for peace. What about success? If I were successful, maybe I could have some peace. I mean, it can help. Success can bring us comfort, you know. I have talked to some people that sort of pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps, and they said, you know, I just wanted to have more money. Now that I have more than I need, you know what? Stuff's not really that different. It certainly didn't make me happy. I'm comfortable, but my life's not that different. I'm not more peaceful necessarily. I also am the proud dad of two daughters who graduated from their programs of study and went out into the world. They secured jobs, and that's a measure of success. I'm so proud of them for that. One of them works for a large publicly traded company. She's an engineer, and she settled in. She worked hard, and think about how that would feel in your 20s, you know, getting a decent salary and, you know, being in a new city and making new friends and feeling successful and feeling good. And then one day, and I think things were going that way, one day she called and said, you know, we all went to work like it was a normal day, and then we had an unscheduled meeting. And by the end of that meeting, half of the people in the room learned that they didn't have jobs anymore, that they were laid off. They weren't even allowed to go back to their desks to get their things. Now, my daughter was not one of those. At the same time, what a reality check. People who walked in the building thinking, what a great day. I got my latte here. I'm ready to go to my cubicle and get to work. And then realizing they left a couple hours later not having a job. The list of places where I think sometimes I might find peace seems to not be a very good list. I can't find peace in my government. I can't find peace in my politics. Maybe you do. Maybe you're better at it than I am. I can't. I can't find peace in circumstances. Some days when it's going my way, but not other days. And a lot of people tell me they haven't found peace in success. So where do we find peace? I was thinking this week, you know, ancient cultures probably a little more realistic than we are about life and the difficulty of life and the challenges of life. They weren't so comfortable. They were used to dealing with adversity. They knew life could be unpredictable. They knew life could be unfair. I think of the shepherds of the New Testament in the Christmas story. We'll read about an encounter they had in a bit. I know when we think about shepherds in the Bible, we think about this idyllic, serene scene, right? These guys with staffs, and they have something that looked to us like pillowcases on their heads. At least they do it every Christian Christmas pageant. And they're just sort of walking around their flock, you know, like maybe petting the sheep, you know. Everybody's just sort of happy and smiling. Truth of the matter is, sheep were a commodity. They were money, and they were probably big money. And so people wanted to steal them. And so shepherds had to be tough. They had to fight off raiders. They had to fight off thieves and gangs. Also, sheep were food. Wild animals wanted to eat them. So shepherds had to fight off wild animals. I'm not sure they had many illusions about peace. I imagine daily life could be a little stressful for a shepherd back then. And then when they looked out into their political world, their Jewish government wasn't particularly good to them. And they were ultimately ruled by the Romans, who really were not good to them. And there was no peace movement. There was no peace sign. If anything, agitators wanted a war with Rome. Not a peaceful time. But one night, something happened to call these shepherds to a sense of peace and joy. And it's recorded in Luke chapter 2. We read that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." That's what the angels always say when they show up in the Bible. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news, And it's going to bring great joy to everybody. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you'll recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger in an animal feeding tray. Like, okay. But then suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies, the host of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven." And what on earth? What on earth? Peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see what has happened. Let's see what has been told to us. And so they hurried to the village. They found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary, little exhausted Mary, kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So these angels show up. They're powerful. They're magnificent. Even these tough, hardened, wizened shepherds are terrified. The angels say, "It's okay." And they proclaim something to the shepherds that they didn't get from their own government, from the Romans, from their job. What they proclaimed to the shepherds was peace. Peace in a tumultuous, violent, difficult, poor, poverty-stricken world. Coming into their world was a new kind of peace that transcended circumstances, politics, you name it. It's a kind of peace that transcends anxiety or conflict or trouble and worry. And it is that same kind of peace that transcends anxiety or conflict or trouble and worry in our lives today, in your life tonight. Because this kind of peace, and this is what's so important, it doesn't depend on anything in this world. Not a circumstance, not a politician, not a party, not an ideology, not an era, nothing. It doesn't come from what I own. It doesn't come from what I've accumulated. It doesn't come from my life situation. It comes whether I am healthy or ill. It is peace that comes from God. And here, what Luke is communicating to us is peace is associated with Jesus, the Messiah. Here at St. Andrew's, we've been talking for several weeks about something called, it's a metaphorical term, the fruits of the Spirit. It's in the writings of the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians. And Paul says, there's this list of practices and attributes that emerge in our lives when we're connected with God's Spirit. It's like a tree bearing fruit, and these are the fruits of the Spirit. And he says they are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there's no law against them. You can do them as much as you want. And tonight, we're concluding that series as we talk about peace. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. If you are connected to God through the Holy Spirit, peace is not something you have to work at or achieve. It is a natural outgrowth of your life. And it is what the angels told us we should expect. The seed that is planted at the proclamation in Luke 2 blooms here in Galatians 5. The angels say peace to you in Galatians 5 after the life and ministry and resurrection of Christ. Paul says, oh, peace, of course. If you're connected to him, if you're connected to him, the one who has conquered sin and death, if he is your Lord, you are going to experience peace, and you are headed toward an eternal life of joy and peace. And this is my experience. It is true. When I'm more connected to Christ, when I'm more connected to the flow of the Holy Spirit through my life, I'm like, I don't care who's in office. I don't care how much money's in the bank account. Well, I might care a little bit. I don't care a lot. I don't care whether it's cloudy or sunny. I care about who I'm connected to. That's what brings me peace. And sometimes it's easy to lose that perspective as we go through life distracted and busy, scrolling on the smartphone. During the pandemic, the network CNN covered, which was a weird time, the network CNN covered an interesting story about people and how they escaped the feeling of being shut in and concerned and scared to be outside and be happy and peaceful again. It was characterized like this. This is a story. Everyone could use a little sunshine in their life. It's written during the pandemic, right now. So a Wisconsin farmer decided that's what he was going to do. He planted more than 2 million sunflowers in his fields usually used for farming. been used for farming this field for more than 70 years. And this was the first year during the pandemic that flowers were decorating the landscape. Usually, the pick-your-own farm consists of strawberries, raspberries, pumpkins in the fall. But this time, the strawberry farm is drawing people to a simpler family outing where they can picnic, wander in fields of flowers, and take home a dozen sunflowers. They interviewed this guy, and he said, you know, we just decided to do it. And we just kept building. We just kept planting. As the season went on, the pandemic stayed. We thought people might be looking for something to do safely outside and smile, basically. So they ended up with more than 22 acres of flowers that made more than 2 million blooms of sunshine. The flowers were planted in more than 15 fields to provide room for people to walk around. There were zinnias, a field of wildflowers, Mexican sunflowers that are known for attracting butterflies on top of all of that, if you can imagine that picture of beauty. And the owner said, one of the things that's so cool about this is everybody comes out here and they're sad when they come and they're out here in the field and they're happy again. We get all these comments on Facebook or if I'm on the field, everybody's like, thank you for doing this. This is exactly what I needed. In other words, people were peaceful again. And what I like about that story is sun and fields of flowers. It reminds me that the beauty of God and that the things that God makes bring peace to human beings. The things that God makes bring peace to human beings. And that foretaste, that's just a deposit on what is to come in terms of eternal peace. It's just a little taster. So the reminder to me is when I need peace, go back to source. And by source, I mean the God of the Scriptures, the one who is the source of all life, the creator and sustainer of all life, the God of the Old and New Testaments. We can find peace in who God is. We can find peace in what God has done. Are you connected to that source? Are you experiencing in your life that peace? The angels tell us that embracing Jesus as Messiah, born as a baby, brings peace. And I was thinking about those flowery fields, and I thought, you know, the baby Jesus is like a flower in a sunlit field. He's like a star amidst the starry backdrop of night, but there is no flower, there is no star like him. The angels in the heavenly host, they were so confident. They said, if you go see this, if you go experience this, if you see this baby king, you're going to experience peace. And the Apostle Paul says later to those who have already embraced Jesus as Lord, peace is going to come naturally. Just stay connected. It's a foretaste of eternal peace. This evening, what's your relationship to this baby Messiah who grows up? He becomes this upstart rabbi, brilliant, wise teacher, savior of the world. Could tonight be a moment of embrace for you, a moment of renewal to look for peace in that relationship, a relationship where you really can find peace? Let's pray. Almighty God, we look for peace everywhere. Sometimes we think we found it, and then it goes away, almost like a ghost. But this evening, perhaps we take a moment to be still, renew our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, or perhaps embrace him for the first time. Christ is Lord, Lord of the flowers of the field, Lord of the starry skies, Lord of the cosmos, Lord of this minute, Lord of the second, Lord of our lives. We trust in him for peace. We commit to trust in him in the coming year, to know him more deeply. In the name of Jesus, with gratitude, we come before you tonight seeking his kind of peace, your kind of peace, now and forevermore. Amen. Peace be with you.